give a talk in this conference in honor of Spencer Block. It's a great pleasure and honor for me. Spencer Block is an old and dear friend of mine, and I have an enormous mathematical debt to him. Old friend, well, it seems that there has been a little competition as to who has known Spencer for the longest time, so maybe certainly not the number one in this list, but I think I've known Spencer for something like 37 years, and in fact, the other day my senses were refreshed when I heard Cha Chun talk about semi-regularity theorem, Spencer's semi-regularity theorem, because I remember many discussions we had at MIT about that. So I had made many suggestions, but of course none of them was useful, and of course, as usual, Spencer found the proof by himself, and by totally different means. So, of course, I took inspiration from him, very many topics, vanishing cycles, Durham cohomology, crystalline cohomology, and of course, as everybody knows, Durham-Witt theory. So, in fact, Durham-Witt theory is nothing but some byproduct of a reformulation by Deligne of Spencer's beautiful construction of this complex of typical curves on K groups. So, I'm very sorry that today I'm not going to talk about topics closely related to Spencer's work, nor even to motives, except that, if we think of realizations of motives, certainly ethyl cohomology is the one that has been certainly most extensively studied for the past 40 years. But still, it happens that some basic problems remained open since the early years, the early 60s, the times of Grothendieck and Arlin. And it's only recently that Gaber, in fact, solved these remaining problems. So another title for my talk could be SGA4 Revisited, or Sur des pensées anciennes selon des vers nouveaux. So indeed, the things I'm going to talk about, I'll try to make a survey of a result that Gaber talked about in two conferences in 2005 at Orsay and in Princeton. And the plan, I will explain the plan in a minute, I should point out that my interest in that, of course, was immediate, and then we, with Laszlo and Orgozo, we had some seminar last year on Gaber's work. And the idea is that we should write down notes or understand the proof, because maybe if we wait for Gaber to write them all, maybe it will take some time. So then, so the plan is like this. So there are six sections, but I would like to concentrate on the finiteness. So it means constructibility of direct images. But in this finiteness result, in the proof, there are two main ingredients. One is absolute purity, which is also some result due to Gaber, but much older, maybe 13 years ago. And a new one, which is the local uniformization, part 3. And then a fine Lefschetz local duality are some consequences of the method used to prove finiteness. And so in the remaining time, I hope I can say something about the strategy of the proof of the finiteness theorem. So let me first briefly recall that absolute purity conjecture. So this is Gaber's theorem in 1994. So it says this. So if you have a regular scheme, locally in Ethereum, and if Y is a regular divisor, and you look at the inclusion of the complement U, and you take an N which is invertible on X, and lambda Z mod N Z, then the higher direct images of lambda by J are given on the board. RQJ lower star is lambda for Q equals 0, lambda Y minus 1 Q equals 1, and 0 for Q greater than 1. And in fact, for the R1, J lower star lambda of 1, so the isomorphism is given by the class of minus the torsor of nth root of a local section defining the divisor. So H1, so you take the torsor of nth root of the local equation of the divisor. That will give you a section of R1, J lower star lambda of 1. So this is the, somehow when you push it to H2y, this is the cycle class of y. So a neater formulation is to say that Ri per shrike is concentrated in degree 2 and it's lambda shifted, twisted by 1. So I should say a few words about the proof of this. So it was a conjecture of Grothendieck in SGA 5. So I heard him state the conjecture, but for some reason it doesn't appear in the written text. So it was proven in the case where x and y are smooth under k, and in fact if x and y are just regular, it just holds us just as well. And it was also proven by Artin if s is excellent of characteristic 0, and also much later when dimension of x is 2, proven by Gaber. And then some cases of higher dimension were proven by Thomason in 84 with some restrictions on the n with respect to the dimension. And finally, the general case by Gaber in 1994, where you prove combining some theory of cycle classes and some K theory, which was already used in Thomason's work. And now there is a new proof with no K theory at all. So a corollary, of course, you can take a regular scheme of regular subscheme of a higher codimension D, and you have a similar formula here. And in fact, from this you can deduce the result which is interesting for our purposes. So I won't explain more about the cycle class, locally the product of cycle classes of divisors defining the intersection Y. But what is important for us, in the finite theorem, is that if X is regular and D now is a strict normal crossing divisor, and you look at the complement, then the RQJ lower star of lambda are certain constructible sheaves on U, which are on X, which are completely described by this formula. So in degree 1, it is the sum of the lambda DI on the components with a twist by minus 1, and then the RQ is just the lambda Q of that, which gives some decomposition into a sum of lambda on the Q by Q intersections twisted by minus the cardinality of the branches. So, of course, there are relative variants, but they are not interest for my purpose. So, in the new proof will use some material from the old one and also a delicate results using canonical desingularization in characteristic 0. So I'm afraid I won't have time to talk about that, though I understand that Gillet and Janssen are quite interested in this last part. Now, let me come to the statement of the finiteness theorem. So here there is something which is excellent, but which is usually scaring. Yeah. So a definition of excellent and quasi-excellent. So I recall the definition. So a ring is called quasi-excellent if it is Noetherian, and the geometric and the formal fiber, that is the fibers of a spec of the completion of the local ring at X to a spectrum of the local ring are regular and remain so after a finite extension of the field which is the base. And finally, for any A prime of finite type over A, then the spec of A prime should contain, for any A prime of finite type over A, then the set of regular primes should be open. So we'll be mostly interested in the local case for which, in fact, an Noetherian plus formal fiber geometrically irregular implies, in fact, the openness. So excellent is quasi-excellent and universally catenary, which means, So catenary means that you have a, let's say, X1, X2, X3, a chain of a reducible subset, then the codimension between X1 and X3 is the sum of that between X1 and X2 and that between X2 and X3. And the same should hold for any A prime of finite type over A. And finally, a scheme is said to be quasi-excellent or excellent if it is a union of open affines, which are quasi-excellent or excellent. Now, this is a very stable notion. So, for example, if Y is quasi-excellent or excellent, then any scheme of finite type over it is also quasi-excellent or excellent. So a complete local Noetherian ring is excellent. A Dedekind ring with fraction fields of characteristic 0 is also excellent, but there are discrete valuation rings of equal characteristic P positive which are not excellent. So now I can state Gaber's theorem. So it says that if Y is a Noetherian and F x to Y is finite type and N is invertible on Y, so then if you take a constructible sheaf of lambda modules F on X, then first of all the higher direct images are QF or star of F are constructible, and second they vanish for Q sufficiently large. In other words, the RF dual star sends a so-called DBC to DBC, where DBC means the full subcategory of the Dirac category consisting of complexes which are bounded and whose cohomology is constructible. Now, of course, for F proper, quasi-excellency and invertible of Y is superfluous. That was proven at the very beginning of the foundations of Ital cohomology and by Kotendig and Arvin. And also, but this is much more difficult, if Y is of characteristic 0, then that had been proven by Arvin in Exposé 19 using Hironaka resolution. Now, it took a long time to even to obtain a finiteness over a field without properness. So of course we all know that if we don't assume N invertible, then it is completely false already for the affine line and characteristic P and D mod P because of Artin-Schreier exact sequences. But it was expected that for N prime to the characteristic, then that should hold. And especially for schemes of finite type over a field, which are certainly very excellent. So it was proven, in fact, by Deling in 73, 74, in a letter to Artin, and then it was, in fact, included in SGA 4.5. And in fact, it works not only over a field, but a regular base of dimension 1, which need not be quasi-excellent. Now, coming back to, yes, and also Deligne proved at the same time some generic constructibility theorem with no assumption on S, saying that if you have X over Y, then generically on S, as of some open dense subset, then the RQF lower star of S restricted to that open subset, or rather what is above this open subset, are constructible and in fact compatible with base change. So this will be an important ingredient in the proof of Gaber's theorem. Now, remark is that this is, so this assumption of quasi-excellency is not needed for Q equals 0, but needed already for Q equal to 1. There is a counterexample by Gaber with a bad affine inclusion, open affine inclusion, with the complement, which is a curve with infinitely many double points, which is still in the Noetherian ring, but non-excellent. And, well, you can think of the, for example, the Renault model of GN, yes, is that special curve, which is the infinite union of projective lines. But unfortunately, this is not the Noetherian. So Gaber also subcontracts and constructs a very nice example. So, in fact, this assumption is quite necessary. And Gaber also proved a non-commutative variant for sheaves of the of sets and for sheaves of groups, which are the torsion prime to the characteristic. So R1 if lower starved such constructible sheaf is a constructible sheaf of pointed sets. But I won't discuss that. So again, well, I think I will not discuss this non-commutative thing, but coming back to the commutative case, so there are, in fact, there are two parts, so A and B. So A is the constructibility, B is the vanishing for Q large. So the ingredients are not the same. And in fact, I must confess that I don't know yet how Gaber proves 2-1-B. But I sort of understand how he proved 2-1-A. So the basic ingredient is a local uniformization. So I will come to that. But perhaps I should maybe explain what is it important, or why it is important to have such a kind of a weak resolution of singularities. So first of all, if you think of the theorem, so you have F from X to Y, and F constructible, you want to show constructibility of direct images. So the first idea which comes to your mind is that, well, Y is the limit of the finite type over Z, and the RQ of lower star is the limit of RQ of lower star of something finite type over Z, and then that's great, finite type over Z, we already know by the line. Unfortunately, we don't have any base change because F is not proper, so this system, this inductive system, is certainly not locally constant, so it might grow when you come nearer to Y, so this doesn't work. It worked in the, for example, it would work in a proper case on any base you can reduce to finite type over Z, but not in this case. So the idea is that suppose you have at your disposal some kind of weak form of resolution. Then what can you do? First of all, you see there is a little maybe of too much generality in RQ F lower star S. In fact, the standard reductions reduce to the case where you have an open dense immersion J from U to X, and F is in fact lambda, V mod N V. And you want to show that there are QJ lower star lambda are constructible. So suppose you can, for any scheme, so suppose you can find, for any scheme of finite type over X, you can find a scheme over it, which is proper, and which is regular, and in such a way that the inverse image of the complement of U will be a divisor with normal crossing. So, for example, if X, you work with schemes of finite type over a tray or a regular scheme of dimension at most one, then by De Jong you know such a thing. So you have a pair from X and a closed subset, then you can find an alteration which makes you which transforms this into a pair regular and divisor with normal crossings. So then one can construct, as Gilles explained this morning, then some hypercovering in this case, X dot to X, and you consider the U dot here. So here now is that X dot minus U dot is a strict DNC. And X, X dot, each Xn is regular. So then you want to show, you want to calculate Rj lower star lambda, so Rj lower star, so first of all, lambda on U is our epsilon lower star lambda by descent, and so your Rj lower star lambda is just the R epsilon lower star. I should put maybe some dots here. Of R, let's say J dot lower star of lambda. And now you know that each R Q J, each R Rj n lower star of lambda is in DBC. by purity, because this is a complement of a divisor with normal crossing, so the RQ has a certain lambda Q over 1, so they are constructible. So you have that, and now the epsilon are proper, so then you know that, so then the RQ epsilon, let's say, P star of RJ P lower star lambda is constructible, and this abuts, you have a spectral sequence which abuts to RP plus Q J lower star of lambda, so this is constructible, so this is also constructible. So this works fine because the epsilon here were proper, this was regular. So what Gabber does, in fact, is that he finds some substitutes for such a beautiful statement, which we might have maybe someday, but which we haven't yet, which is a uniformization. So I will explain the uniformization. So S is a scheme. If S is a scheme, so then you it's just some kind of a convenience. You won't use it seriously, but just it's a convenience. So PFPF topology for prop surjective presentation phi means like FPPF somehow. You take the topology on schemes over S, which is generated by with covering families are generated by proper surjective morphism of finite presentation, and there is key open cover. So it's a strange marriage between two kinds of objects. But in fact, you get in this way a topology which is, in fact, quite interesting. It's finer than the et al. Topology, and in the Noetherian case, this is, Voivodsky H topology. In fact, the coincidence is not completely obvious. That was proven in a paper by Goodwillie and Lichtenbaum. But in this paper, I think, am I right? You call it the PH topology. Yeah. So also, you have to think of what it means to be local for this topology. So local for the Zariski topology means just a spectrum of the local ring. For the et al. Topology, spectrum of the discrete of the strict Henselian ring, strictly local ring, and in this topology, spectrum of evaluation ring whose fraction field is algebraically closed. So that somehow makes us thinking of the Zariski Riemann space is at the origin of the terminology uniformization. So Gabber's theorem says this property. So I suppose X is Noetherian, quasi excellent, and Y is some closed subset which is nowhere dense. Then, of course, it's not so good as finding an X prime over X which is proper, surjective, and X prime regular. But you can find at least a finite family XI to X which is which form a PSPF covering, so it is surjective to this fine topology, the PSPF topology, where the XI are regular connected, and the inverse image YI in each XI is a strict divisor with normal crossing, the support of a strict DNT or ENT space. One can also impose, but I don't use it, that it looks like an alteration somehow, though it is not proper. It is generically quasi-finite and sends maximal points to maximal points. So, of course, the point here you should compare, so it's a local statement because I said that the family is covering for the for this fine topology, much finer than the et al. Topology. And, of course, it compares somehow not so well with the Hironaka statement or the Young statement. But the point here is that it works on any X which is quasi-excellent. So you don't have your floating in the air, there is no base, no spec Z or no regular scheme of dimension 1 as a base. So the rough outline of the proof is, so you see you have to show this, the existence of this FI, so locally for so local questions of the et al. Topology in particular, so you can assume that X is local Henselian because passing to the Henselization doesn't alter the quasi-excellency. And then you have now your nice Encelian local ring, and you don't know what to do. There is no such theorem, structure theorem for such local rings. But if you complete, then you are in better shape. Because we have structure theorems for complete local Noetherian rings. We have coherence theorems. And in fact, in the local complete case, which is the crucial case, then there is a new result of Gaber in proving on Cohen theorem, which enables you to somehow fiber your complete ring into curve over something of dimension one less. I will be more precise in a moment. So the ingredients consist of so first of all, you have to do something to show that you can pass from initialization to completion. So this is approximation technique, so Artin-Popescu theorem, and also some new technique of approximation due to Gaber, because when you descend from the completion to the initialization, you have to check that the properties of regularity, divisor in normal crossing, etc., are preserved, and for this you have to use new tools, which I won't have time to explain. So the proof will be by induction on the dimension of x, and in the local complete case, so you will have this theorem of fibration of Gaber, and eventually you will use the Young and Kato theorem of resolution of toric singularities. So Gaber's fibration theorem, which is the core of the proof, says the following. So you have your local, normal, complete, excellent ring, dimension theory is 2. So y is closed in x. So up to replacing x by some finite cover, x prime, x1, I wrote here, then xy is the completion of a pair x prime, y prime, where x prime is somehow fibered in curves, so essentially a finite type over a local complete regular ring of dimension one less. I don't say anything about here improving y, so it's just that xy is the completion of some pair x prime y prime, which is a curve. X prime is a curve over something dimension one less. So to do that, you use first of all that I don't know if I have a yes. I think the starting point is what I said, this improvement on Cohen theorem. So first, you work in equal characteristic p positive. So so then in a Noetherian complete local reduced equidimensional dimension r, then it is finite over some ring of formal power series. It contains a subring which is b, which is k double bracket t1tr, and it's finite over that. So that you can find the statement in EGA4. But here the new thing is that you can find such a B so that A is generically étale over B. And second, though it's not so so crucial, but still in EGA you needed in fact not just reduced but integral. So you may have several components. So the proof of this relies on some techniques of used in the GA4 to prove the Nagata criterion. So this is quite delicate, but you see, once you have the this finiteness and generically étale, then you are in a good shape to apply Elkick's approximation theorem. So you look at the locus where it is not étale, and then so somehow you approximate that locus. You uniformize this pair, and also you have some work to uniformize also the closed subset, the original closed subset Y. And once you have something étale over some, say, polynomial ring in one variable over a complete regular ring of dimension one less, then you get something essentially, you get essentially a curve over this ring of dimension one less. So now, once you have that, you have your curve. So you will use several strong instruments. So you will use De Jong. You have your curve, and so the base, you can make the curve generically nice, and by taking some alteration on the base by De Jong, you can make the curve nodal. And also, you look at your closed subset upstairs, then you look at its direct image, and it's a mess. But by the induction assumption, you can take some PSPF cover, which makes it nice. So you will get some nice regular base and closed subset, which is a divisor of normal crossing. You have a nodal curve over that. So you get nodal over some divisor of normal crossing. So you get upstairs something which is essentially, what is a log regular, so some kind of toric singularities. And then finally, you apply Kato's resolution of toric singularities, and then you are done. So that's the rough idea. I should say that this curve lemma has been recently used by Gaber and Rogozo to pull some conjecture of Kato on the p dimension of fields. So the result is here. So you have some let's say local Noetherian and Salian excellent integral ring. You look at it, so it has a fraction field k and a residue field small k. So and suppose the characteristic of the residue field is p positive, then the p dimension of the fraction field is equal to the p dimension of the residue field plus the dimension of A. So what is the dimension, the p dimension? So it's a complicated notion. So if p is different from the characteristic, then this is the usual notion, the etal cohomology. So p is a cohomological dimension. For the etal cohomology, is value in torsion with the torsion coefficient. But in characteristic p, when p is the characteristic of the field, then it's much complicated. It involves a little bit of differential stuff. So it is the maximum of the D, such that the dimension of F over Fp is at most P to the D, so the dimension of the, the P basis, dimension of the rank of omega 1, absolute omega 1, and such that this H1 vanishes, so this H1 is value in the sheaf of logarithmic differentials. So of course, the logarithmic differentials were introduced by Cartier in the late 50s, but I think it's from the work of Spencer generalizing that to Durham-Witt and then Kato that they became prominent. So here this is somehow some generalization of the p-torsion points of the Brouwer group. Somehow that would be the case for d equal to 1. So this is this dimension. The p-dimensional field. So in the case of a discrete, an excellent discrete variation ring, it was proven by Kato. And I should also point out that, of course, you can ask for what happens if the characteristic of K is different from P. Then suppose the implicity that A is pretty local, then the dimension of the p-dimension of the fraction field is then equal to the dimension of the ring. So that was conjecture made by Artin in FGA4. So that uses some result of Gaber, affine-Lefschetz theorem. I will explain in a moment. So let me come to the affine-Lefschetz theorem. So I recall the standard theorem of Artin, although Artin doesn't like that one says that it's Artin's theorem, because in fact it was the work of Artin, Groth, and Dick of the SGA4, so it was a joint work. But still, it says the following. So, first of all, if X is just affine finite type over algebraic K-closed field, then the etale cohomology value in sheaves of torsion Pointer characteristic vanish for in degree greater than the dimension of X. And there is a relative variance that I wrote here, which was quite important, and which was probably one of the starting points of the theory of perverse sheaves, I think. That when you look at direct images for an affine morphism, then the QF lower star, they shrink. The dimension of the support of our QF lower star is at most dimension of the support of F minus Q. So they become smaller and smaller. So I think it's a T exactness. So then I should ask to the right or to the left? And, to the right, maybe. Is it okay? Yes. Okay. So now Gaber has generalized that to, of course, the case where Y is no longer a schema finite type over a field. But for this, you see, when you have a field finite, a schema finite type over a field, then you have a good notion of a dimension on points. So if you pick up a point X, you know, the dimension of X is either the transcendent degree of K of X over K, or you take the dimension of the closure of X. When you are with those fancy Noetherian schemes, which are perhaps excellent, but still not so nice, then you need some notion of a dimension function. So then in dimension function, a dimension function will be a function on points with value in Z, which would decrease by 1 for immediate specialization. So here, because we work with etale cohomology, immediate specialization in the Zariski sense is not quite enough. We have to say what is an etale immediate specialization. So X, Y is an immediate specialization is the etale set of X if Y lies in the closure of X, okay? And then if you look at the strict localization of this closure, this integral scheme, at some geometric point above Y, then this strict localization has an irreducible component of dimension 1. So it may happen that there is key that it is not an immediate specialization and that it becomes so in the etale sense. So if you, for example, take the plane and you identify the generic point of the line is the origin, so you take a leaf and then you punch it and then, oh, you make it pierce the, yeah, so you get a picture like this, yeah. Yeah, something, and this, then this will become, when you pass to the strict localization, then you get so. This is not a direct immediate specialization, but here it is. Yeah. So so then you have this notion, so dimension function, now etale dimension function, is a function which decreases by 1 for any immediate specialization of X. So in fact, these dimension functions exist always directly locally, when X is universally catenary, for example, the closed subset of a closed subscheme of some regular scheme. So it's not so serious. And X, if X is quasi excellent, so a dimension function exists at all locally always. So as examples, for example, so this function I described to you previously, or the finite type over a field, then a transcendent degree or dimension of the closure, dimension function. If X is reducible and universally catenary, this condition, so then delta of X minus dimension OXX of the local ring is a dimension function. In the case of over a field, so dimension of the ambient scheme minus the dimension of the local ring is, of course, the dimension of the closure. So. Then it's up to some constant, so minus is a dimension function. But if you would take the dimension of the closure, it would not be, in fact, a dimension function, already for the affine line over a tree. So if you have a dimension function downstairs, you can have you can get one upstairs by adding the transcendent degree of the point x over its image f of x, the art in the rectified dimension. So with this in mind, then you have exactly the same result, that if f is affine, a finite type, between quasi-excel and schemes, and with dimension functions which are related by the Artin condition, then same happens for any sheaf of lambda modulus f on x, and the delta of that is the dimension, the soup of the of delta y for at which the RQ of lower star f is non-zero is at most the dimension of f minus q. So again, in the case of finite type over a field, this is a statement I recalled previously. So when characteristic in characteristic zero, that has been proven by Artin, and in fact a special case, which is in fact a very important ingredient in the proof in general case, is the case of finite type over a tree, which had been proven in, by Gaber in 1994. And which was also some ingredient in his proof of absolute purity conjecture. So, simple corollary of that is that if you take an excellent local, strictly local ring, the open subset, which is the complement of the divisor, then dimension is Z, then the cohomology of U with lambda, or in any sheaf F, in fact, on U, vanishes for Q greater than the dimension. And in fact, this corollary is somehow, like in Artin's proof in the case of schemes of finite type over a field, equivalent to the original, to the more refined statement. And Gaber constructed an example where the conclusion doesn't hold in the non-excellent case, D greater than, for D greater than 1. So again, the same kind of technique, which I've not yet explained. I still some time. I will explain that in a moment. But before, let me briefly review the statement of the local duality. So a statement of duality means, well, existence of dualizing complexes. So what is a dualizing complex? So then, started X Noetherian, lambda Z mod N Z, an invertible on X. So a complex K, K in DBC, is a dualizing complex if K finite tour dimension. So if you take the tensor product, the Dirac tensor product is any sheaf, then the cohomology is test bounded into a fixed interval. And when you apply the R-Homowitz value in this case, then it sends DBC to DBC, so constructibility is preserved, and the canonical map from F into its bidual for F in DBC is an isomorphism. So this notion, in fact, is a little weaker than the one I wrote in SGA 5 exposé 1, in the sense that in SGA 5 exposé 1, I imposed that, in fact, there was some, I don't remember what the terminology, I think maybe quasi-finite or quasi-injective, finite quasi-injective dimension. But there is an answer that the sheaf xi of f in k vanish for I greater than n for any constructible f. So, but it is, in fact, sufficiently good notion. And in fact, with this definition, dualizing complex, if it exists, is in fact unique, as you know, up to shape, and to tensoring with some invertible lambda module L. So then the theorem is that well, you take an excellent scheme, a Noetherian, having a dimension function. Then dualizing complexes exist, and if you have a map of finite type, x prime to x, and you pick a dualizing complex downstairs, then you take the F apostrophe of that, then you get the Lagging complex up there. And finally, which is very striking, is that if X is regular, then the constant sheaf itself, Z mod N V over X, is a dualizing complex. So this in itself is very impressive because it was a Grothendieck conjecture in SGA 5.1, and it was proven in at the time, of course, in dimension at most 1. This is quite easy. And proven only modulo purity, which was, of course, not known at the time, and a strong form of resolution. So it has been proven, of course, for characteristic zero. Now, Delling had proven that if you take a base, a tray, or regular base of or a field, a regular base of dimension at most one, then then you take lambda on S, the constant sheaf, then F upper freak is dualizing. So that was in SGA 4.5. But that was all that was known. So the proof is rather intricate. There is a new theory of local traces. And Gaber constructs what he calls the candidate for a dualizing complex, candidate dualizing complex. And the property that cohomology with the port in the point is, in fact, concentrated in just 1 degree. So, for example, if you take a regular scheme, and you take lambda, then you know by purity that if you look at the cohomology at the closed point, that is dimension D, closed point X, then the cohomology with support in the closed point will be in fact the lambda of minus D, shifted by minus 2D. So this is, in fact, on a regular scheme, lambda is already a good candidate dualizing complex. But what Gaber proves is that this, in fact, suffices, and the candidates are, in fact, admitted and are dualizing complexes. Now, I can explain a little bit about the proof of the finiteness. So I already explained how you do when you have some form of de Jong available, right? So the basic reduction is to case of open immersion and lambda on U, and you have to show that RJ lower star of lambda is a constructible cohomology. So I will pass this because I explained already on the board. So instead of de Jong, what we are trying now to use is the uniformization theorem. So what can we do? We can construct some hypercovering here. So Gilles explained how we start with x0, and then we take x0 cross x0, and we cover it by some x1, and so on. So we can construct this, where the epsilon, this simplification scheme is a PFPF, or PH, or H hypercovering of x, and where the xn are all regular, and yn, the inverse image of the complement of u, the inverse image of y, in xn is a strict divisor with normal crossing. Now, it seems that the proof will give nothing, because if you come back here, then certainly you have a constructibility here by absolute purity. But this is not proper, so you are back to your starting point. So trying to show that some direct image is constructible. So what can we do? So the idea is to use Delling's generic constructibility theorem, which requires almost nothing. So of course it doesn't tell you that something is constructible, it's generically constructible. So in fact you have to remember what it means for a sheaf to be constructible. So one criterion is that when you restrict to any, let's say, irreducible subscheme, closed irreducible subscheme, then there is an open dent in that where it is locally constant, of finite type. So there exists a dense sensing, so okay. So then we can try to apply generic constructibility. So here is the criterion I've just explained by hand waving. So we have to show that for any I, so the, and for any closed irreducible subset G x prime in X, there is a dense open V, depending on the I and the G, such that when you restrict your I J lower star lambda to V, it is constructible, even locally constant if you like. Now, the problem is that it's not so good to restrict the epsilon lower star by G, because the epsilon are not proper, and so you don't have any base change. So then you might, for example, you might have some an open immersion and then make the pullback by the complementary closed immersion, so that you don't get much. So, in fact, a priori it doesn't look good. But Gaber somehow managed to show that even if for each individual epsilon n lower star base change doesn't hold, then in this situation it still holds for the epsilon dot lower star, so the total direct image. So in fact you have that the lower upper star of this epsilon lower star is in fact R epsilon prime lower star of the inverse image of the RJ lower star. So now, so this is what explains some kind of hyperbase change. So descent with base change, a combination of the two. Now you can finish the proof because, again, by absolute purity, you know that this RJ lower star are constructible. You pull them back, they are constructible. By the Lie generic constructibility, if you restrict those, they become constructible on some open set, and you conclude by the usual spectral sequence. Now, the main ingredient for hyperbase change is what I call oriented products of the Lie, or maybe it would be better to call them tubular neighborhoods. So this was also used in Ogogozo's work on vanishing cycles over general basis. I think it's a quite interesting notion, though not so much studied. So let me, so before I'm trying to explain that, let me tell you what we could do. So if we knew that the RJ lower star lambda could commute with the base change by G, then it's very easy. It's just use cosmological descent for U dot to U, this hypercovering, and then for what is induced over G, and then you get that the RJ lower star, the R epsilon lower star, commute with the base change. So this would be trivial. So this involves just forming the, you have your U and you have your base change G. So you form this U prime here. Yeah. So you have your you have the G here, U prime, and you have the prime. X like this, or maybe I should have I should have written it differently. Maybe X prime here like this, and I take the Cartesian square here like this. So this is G, and here is J. So but of course. Base change for this doesn't work in general. Instead of this naive fiber product, you can construct some kind of tube. So the Lie construction is some construction with somehow when you have a scheme and some closed sub-scheme, which would put together in a nice manner all the strict localization at the point. So in fact, it's no longer a scheme; it's some kind of topos. Which comes equipped with two projections, one on X' one on U, and some map between the composition on the right and the composition on the left. So in fact, the fact that here you have U to X and X' to X, and this is a closed immersion, this has nothing to do with the construction of this oriented product. In fact, whenever you have two morphisms of schemes like this, then you can construct here some topos with some map from the composition GP2 to FP1, which is universal in an obvious sense. So it means, in particular, if you look at the points, a point in the topos is a pair of points here, the point here, which with the specialization map between the image of the G and maybe G of Y and F of X. So in particular, when you do that with in this situation, then the points are just a point in the open and specialization to map to a point in the closed subset. And so in this case, so this is not empty. This is not the fiber product. It's not empty. It's a nice tube. And if you use this nice tube, then the base change will be okay. And in fact, you can use these tubes to calculate the direct image. Like in topology, the smooth manifold take a tubular neighborhood, so to calculate direct image by inclusion, the open inclusion of some locally constant sheaf, then you can just restrict to some tubular neighborhood and then puncture tubular neighborhood and then project. So this is what you can do here. Yeah. So of course, what you have to show is that in this case, so you have some descent involving strange objects which are no longer schemes, but some certain topos. And so these tubes are very thin, and it's not obvious that cosmological descent holds for these. But they enjoy many properties of tubular neighborhood, and then this descent still holds, and you can conclude as if you had the base change for the naive product. One of the ingredients is some kind of weak stability or independence of these tubes under blow up, which is quite mysterious in my opinion. So I think that's all. Thank you very much. What? Well, no answer to that. The only thing I can say is that you see those local. So if you look at the local ring somehow for this for PSPS cover is a discrete valuation ring, so it plays the role of the open disk or the usual object you use for uniformization, but I think it's rather in the maybe some imitation of Zariski. So locally for the H topology, it means that you can pass to the Zariski Riemann space somehow, and then you get what you want. But I don't. It's in general no good to take those projective limits, to perform the projective limits. So it's much better to have this. finite construction. Yeah. Thank you.